Depends on how the studies are using. There are not really some burners in the process. Tatani Rastena from the National Leader from the office of the Police General. I'll ask her to speak to the rest of the team and then hand over to you for the presentation.
Wishes from the Consul General, Mr. Kimakwit, who is traveling at the moment. He is overseas on our international responsibility. He's asking to leave the engagement here today, even with a class of the So thank you very much, Chair. I'll move straight into our presentation. Chair, as you will recall, this is an annual consultation with this committee on our strategic plans and budget for the year going ahead. I'd just like to make mention of the fact that this is the very last time that we will present our plan, our strategic plan and budget in the manner that we are doing today. It is consistent with what you have seen before because it is informed by the strategic direction set by the 4-month Auditor General in the current moment. This strategic plan was developed.
It's not a contribution. We're not your plan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Member, I take note of that and indicate that this is a presentation of our proposed strategy plan and budget for the policy of going ahead. We had prepared this strategic plan on the basis of the former strategy direction we had. We've also would have asked to consult the committee in about October, November last year. So we are now presenting this document which was prepared at that time. The new Auditor General started to term on the 3rd of December 2013 in the process of preparing his anchor strategy for the organization, and that strategy will inform our plans and operations for the period beginning on the 1st of April 2016 and going forward. That new strategy direction will be presented to the fifth party.
Yeah.
There are no significant changes in the plan that we're taking today. It really got initiatives that are positioned to help us strengthen and leverage on the work that we've done over the past number of years. As a result, the key commitments that you will see that inform our strategic initiatives are the 5 key goals, which really are the translation of our mandate. And we think these 5 key goals position us extremely well to deliver on our mandate of improving the lives of citizens through delivering audits in a manner that strengthens democracy. The first of these goals is really about enhancing and consolidating our audit efforts in order to present clear messages that are relevant, that are based on audit work that has been taken for quality. The second goal, which is the visibility of our leadership, is one where we focus on ensuring that we develop and maintain the type of relationships with our stakeholders that will guide the green administration design. On the funding component, we look at areas about how we run our office in a manner that is efficient, economic, and effective. And in goal four, which is the one about strengthening our human capital, it really talks to our ability to find, attract, retain, motivate, and appropriately inspire the type of people with the skills and capacity that they need to help us live our mandates in a sustainable way. The last goal, which is goal five, which is to lead by example, really talks to the area of how we lead by example as an organization that is informed by operational excellence, high levels of accountability, governance, and transparency as well. The key focus of our strategic plan includes the area of integrating our expertise, our own disciplines in a manner that's going to deliver relevant decisions, and holistically assess the financial management, compliance, and performance. In that area, I see that enhancing the nature of the root causes that we diagnose, enhancing the quality and relevance of the recommendations that we provide. We also want to continue to engage with key stakeholders on matters associated with how we realize the ambitions of clean administration. We also want to continue to research and engage with our stakeholders on how to improve the nature of our performance auditing discipline and ensure that we identify appropriate areas that will add to our needs in the system. We've also got to focus on optimizing the budget fees through best efficiency, through even more relevant messages to our stakeholders. And there's a focus also on connecting our debt more effectively and enhancing our working capital management process, as well as intensifying our learning and development initiatives. Really, because we have a push that the success of our strategies is going to be informed by our ability to have available people who have relevant skills, who are inspired and committed to contribute to our organizational goals. The advantage of this office spends time looking at what the external developments are that could impact our ability to realize our stated organizational goals. We look at the environmental context in a manner that allows us to identify key strategic risks and then develop initiatives that mitigate those risks. The risks that we've identified are the five key ones, are the ones that we've tabled up on the slide. One about the ability of stakeholders to properly understand our mandate. And in the part, we've got the goal that talks to simplicity, relevance, and clarity of messages. The key risk about the potential failure for us to respond to the demands of our external stakeholders, for us to deliver messages that are value added to stakeholders, being those people who are responsible for leading, for running, and for providing oversight in government. Our spot there is in the area of the role two, which is the visibility of leadership. We've understood that our ability needs to have access to the right people at the right time doing the right thing is something that needs continual focus, and the key initiatives under goal four, which is creating human resources, as well as the initiative around being by example, response to that particular risk. The last two risks talk to the primary goals, one about the economy of our auditee, and something that we continue to look at, not because we think that the auditees that we charge are uneconomical, but there tends to be a perception that they may be higher than what our auditees might be able to afford. And we also, in the goal, respond to the pressures that we are facing around our ability to collect data, especially in the local government. I'll just talk Goan, wherein in Goan we've identified two key objectives, one about providing value-added recommendations, as well as objective two, which talks to the excellence of the quality of the product that we issue. On the value-added recommendations, the key performance measure for the organization is similar to what you would have seen before, which focuses on the clarity of our communication, the relevance of our resources, and the recommendations that we provide in terms of whether or not they are value-adding in the system. The rating is given by the Auditor General based on the experience in the journey and externally through the consultation with key stakeholders and what he observed when he looked at the key reports and presentations that we did as an organization. And we target our internal audit products to similar situations as well. Our key initiatives in this area are focused on conducting open audits on the annual this is really about driving the relevance of our research. Continue to oversee and influence the processes of this allowing the general manager. We also want to continue to provide oversight and influence in the right directions those auditors that audit in the public sector alongside us, in order to ensure that not only do they join us in the visibility drive, but they also look at the elements that we've identified as being key to enhancing the relevance of our messages. We are continually looking at strategically selecting additional audits of stakeholders and entities as well as universities and entity colleges in a way that's going to enhance how they operate, enhance the understanding of the governance and transparency issues that might arise in the running of those institutions. The timing and structure of our general support in the area that we want to continue to strengthen in the manner that we have been doing over the last 2 years. The integration of our specialist support areas, the performance auditing, investigation, as well as IT auditing, integration of those into what we commonly refer to as regulatory audit is something that we want to continue to enhance. We want to also drive the efficiency of our audit processes, looking at how we build our team for particular audit assignments, giving the right skills, giving the right mix of contractors in staff from some firm, as well as looking at areas of using data technology in our audit. On the objective two within goal one, is the area of improving the quality of our audit. And as you all know, we have for a long time now driven the process of enhancing how we audit in a manner that is consistent with international standards on quality control. And that's an area that we've done well at and want to continue to do. And we focus on this area because the relevance of our leaders and our ability to lead by example as an institution and therefore build confidence just to rely on these very aspects. In this area, there are activities and initiatives associated with ensuring that not only do we provide pre-issuance before we issue audit reports, but also we conduct post-issuance reviews to ensure that the audits that we've completed are indeed done in accordance with international standards. We have internal procedures to ensure that that happens, but we also subject our procedures to review by the independent regulated board of auditors in order to ensure that we uphold the quality and procedures of the international auditing standards. Goal two, which is the visibility of our leadership. We generally focus on two aspects, external visibility as well as internal visibility of our leadership. On the external, the qualitative rating is still the same as what you have seen before, which is really about assessing how stakeholders perceive us, assessing the nature of the understanding of the work that we do by external auditors and also their ability to apply the recommendations. able to, we are able to continue with this work and stay to keep looking at ways to enhance the quality of how we actually engage in it, the efficiency of how we engage, and the tracking and monitoring of what we do so that we can focus in the right area and drive the right type of behavior. And thirdly, our leaders are inspired and motivated to ensure that they are visible to our staff. Staff is supported in ensuring that the that their work is conducted. Capacity building continues globally and on the African continent in these activities with colleagues in the area of Supreme Court institutions, especially is something that we want to continue to see. We also want to encourage our colleagues in the auditing profession to join us on the side of being visible to all the teams in the public sector. Our final goals of the year are expressed in three measures. One is the net surplus, which allows us to monitor actively our income statement and our profitability, and also ensure that we build capacity to fund our own operational needs in a sustainable way. That net surplus target is currently 1%. And the second performance measure on funding is the creditor debt in terms of how we manage our working capital and keep our suppliers happy and that we pay them on time, but also still managing our own working capital effectively. The effectiveness of our audit delivery is something that we manage in our net surplus numbers well, quite easily. I think if I might just pause here and highlight that the last performance measure on funding is one that looks at debtors and our ability to collect debtors. If you look at those targets, they do look high, and it's really because as an organization, we're focused on ensuring that we can collect as much as we can from the debtors pool. However, this committee is well aware that we have a very high debtors book. And at the year end, when reported on our annual report, there was a number of 500 million rand sitting in the area of debtors, half of which really was attributable to local government. We do accept and understand that the local government or the local government policies have in some instances declining capacity to pay, and it's something that we are well aware of, but our drivers are working hard at in terms of making sure that we collect as much as we can. Consistent with the drive to ensure that we operate effectively and in the economy, we continue to look at ways to cut costs and drive austerity in the way that we operate. We also will continue to negotiate the direct association of municipal policy with the National Treasury in instances where there are constraints in the community today. Golf course is the area of strengthening human capital. The first performance measure is occupancy level, which really talks to our ability to access and retain the people that have the type of skills that we require, are motivated to work with us, and also diverse that they represent the demographic of this country. We focus indeed on ensuring that we capacitate and indeed inspire our people to contribute effectively to our goals. A slight change from what you would have seen in prior years, the culture index, leadership index, and the staff engagement index, those indices which indicate the nature of opportunities for us to improve the environment within which people operate. we still have those goals that have been as operational organizational targets, but we've taken them out of in the digital performance goals, so we think it's going to help us get a clear diagnosis of what we need to manage as an organization to improve the environment in which people operate. In goal 4, our key initiatives are really informed by a three-pronged strategy. We seek to develop digital competence, manage talent of the level, as well as create community environments where people can perform to their true potential, as well as operate in a manner that's ethical, consistent with our own objectives. I think I won't go too much deeper in those three area of our strategy, but I think to say that the focus is really on enhancing how we manage our talent, so that is indeed our most important resource. Ensuring that we have the type of leaders that are able to deliver on the promises that we make, ensuring that we also contribute to the growth and transformation of the profession by running a training team that's effective, that delivers enhance our leaders not just for our own services but also for the broader public service as well as the broader private sector. And it's something that we are proud of and want to continue to strengthen in the years that come. Goal 5, which is about leading by example. We still think that it's important for us to operate in a manner that is consistent with a model institution. Demonstrating operational excellence and leading by example around areas of governance, accountability, and transparency. And we've also included in this element the contribution to growth-based excellence and power. So, included in the scope is the timeliness of our audit report. That's something that's quite important, not just to the people who audit, but those that oversee them. It's a goal that you've seen before, and it's one that we continue to fight for. Indeed, if we're able to deliver on our audits on time, we're able to enhance the relevance of our meetings and the ability of key stakeholders to act upon our recommendations. And how we intend to achieve the stated objectives. We want to focus on using our information technology efforts to ensure that we share information within the audit team, within the organization in a much more efficient and effective way, and be able to genuinely streamline all of our processes to minimize disruption and inefficiency. We're also working on the implementation of our new audit software, which will see our gaining efficiency within the audit process, as well as facilitate better interaction between the audit teams, which really bodes well for better quality relationships, but also opportunity for better outlook training for the people that we want to train. It will improve remote access. You know that our people audit in municipalities and government departments in every single part of this country. So remote access is an area that is much important to us. And also enhance the user experience, the experience of people who use our audit software, ensure that they're able to gain efficiencies and have their own considerations around environmental impact on how we operate, sustainability. Those considerations underpin our strategy and all of our key initiatives. So this area is something that we track and report on. We started that about 2 years ago, and we want to continue to strengthen the manner in which we report on the environmental impact associated with our initiatives. The assessment of our carbon footprint, the use of our paper usage, and this is how we integrate all of the activities in our own reporting and our carbon footprint. with your permission, I'd like to move to the budget overview. The budget for 2014-15 is informed by the key strategic initiatives that I've been talking about. It's also informed by our own experience over the past 3 years. The key coverage ratios that inform our budget are those top four, and they help us track where we are from the project point of view. The first step we have spoken earlier on, we are currently working on the basis of what we experienced in the year that ended March 2013, where we reported on a surplus of just under 1%. Our target for the coming year remains at 1% surplus. The area of focus, you can see that here that is the president of the definition of total income. And I think that's talk about what that total income number is informed by. It's really informed by the our own hours in terms of the work that we do using our own people. That it costs the available hours and ability to gain maximum efficiency associated with each and every game that's supposed to be ordered. And those own hours are increasing at a level really of 3.3%, and that improvement is informed by a view that they've been taking back some of the owners that we currently don't order ourselves, which means then we get more people into our own establishments and strategically direct orders for us to order so that we can enhance the relevance of our message, and of course then also enhance our bottom line. So you see that good profit percentage is increasing slightly in the year 2014-15 as about this area of the 3.8%. And the legacy income, which are reliant on the consultants or the contracted private sector firms that we contract to engage in our audit work. That will start to come down, whereas it was sitting at 11% in the first year of 2015, it is now going to be 2.7%. So very little changes, but some strategic initiatives started to show up there. The income statement of you, I think I've already spoken about the audit income itself. I'll just highlight that you'll note that the overhead expenditure is increasing. That line that the overhead expenditure is increasing from a budget in 13-14 of 869 to a budget 14-15 of 900 million rand. And that increase is really informed by our own strategic drive to find and fund people in our organization who are going to lend better support in terms of how we operate, again, consistent with the operations of our driving operational excellence. To also find the leadership that will ensure that we create the type of environment that is developing people, that is growing people, that also enhances their ability to deliver. Targeted income and expenditure then rendered us in an area we've got a target surplus of 2900. So really little shift from what we've seen before. As I indicated when I began, there are very little changes from what we've seen before. Our capital expenditure budget, budgeting 80 million rand, which we will fund out of our own operational cash flow. The areas of spend are in building computers, as well as leasehold improvements. As you well know, we rent our operating premises as a way of operating leases. And the improvements that we place there then sit as leasehold improvements in our capex budget. But nothing significant in terms of change from what we were doing before. I think that is it for me, Chair. I'd like to indicate, Chair, that this draft strategic plan and budget is consistent with how we have operated in pilot. It really keeps a position us to enhance on what we have, to leverage on the platform that was created by the former OT General in the manner that was going to help us get that even better on our OT method. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Colleagues, time for questions and comments. turno.
Thank you. Chairperson, just one question. I remember previously the big issue was that the Auditor General was not being paid by the government of the province. And I don't see anything in this strategic plan that's addressing that differently to previous years. Now, I know it's a draft, but maybe they can just snap that when they come to report to the first parliament that that is a burning issue and it cannot be business as usual.
Chairperson, due to what the Honourable Cosmo has just announced, that is the question of the 54 million rands that was reported to have spent from the municipalities. I don't know if my name is Chairperson Sandy, but Minister Sandy was here. That is the strategy of that the community has. With what? Number two, would be. The intelligibility of the audit reports to this crisis, especially those that are in the rural areas and lack of energy, the requisite sophistication. I know that the tall order to challenge the AGSA, not to translate the audit reports, the mandate transfer. But if they can enlarge your organization of semi-fine, so it's highlighted. But if, say, go to the book, there are preliminary levels and address certain questions that just by law, the student knows if they could do just like that from the data, so that now we give, they might not be left some Oxford sounding document. I don't know what you say. Well, we had a big presentation about the water and overwhelming facility, but we don't know what they should want. We had some of the things. So explain it specifically, that was in the country. The chairman then, with his own nursing homogeneous promise, they produced a zero, and they stayed in the state. And the state, so you're keeping this economic policy of another diversification, and just do that. And of course, you go to a certain time, how the gas will be placed, that was you saw it done this way. And in that way, you might make the work of professionals more publicly acceptable, instead of being seen as an outrageous outfit. That might also be, I don't know, psychologically, and yet, due to that, so the interest in paying for this strategy, not just say, what are we paying for you? But instead,
from my side, I have heard that this indicated that almost 50% of the money owed is attributable to the local government's fee of government. What is the other outstanding proposal? Is it provincial and national that can indicate the various percentages of the various spheres of government? And discussion with national treasury, is it possible just to give an indication about the direction of this discussion and what about the results do you anticipate that it might yield? And it's a slight angle on the question that has been posed by just a comment of the question that has been posed by Honorable Gwen. I think I would caution to follow the examples that has been set by Honorable Gwen in terms of translation in current language. Just want to allow the local population to participate in the decision-making process of the local government. And I'm going to give you an example. If I'm staying in this part called Rahama, and I see the Parana. So it's and I would want to see how the municipality spend the money, for instance, on the conditional grant or, you know, any of the grants that they've been allocated to them by the national government. And I've been impacted on my life, and if they have not spent money, because we are seeing a high incidence of municipalities, to getting money back to the So as a citizen of that in this country, I need to be empowered with information so that when community meetings, that is managed mayor outreach programs, or talking to communities, so I should be able to participate meaningfully and ask the relevant questions. Tomorrow comes follow, and then I think the last question that we have is on the situation.
My question is around the issue of racism that I deal with only with people. Another thing is around the do they have a pledge to collect the land?
I don't correct you. I don't think it's 54. When it happens, it was 500 million.
Oh, 500 million.
Yeah, it was 500 million, and she indicated the end of the AG's team, he said that 50% of that money is attributed to local
government.
Yeah, municipalities. So, yeah, it's not 54 million. Yeah, so, it's 500 million.
My question around that change is because this challenge that they are taking them, do they have a plan, they themselves, to try to collect that? Or what is the challenge that they are not able to collect that? Is it lack of capacity or lack of staff? What is the cost of that? As much as we know that you can't get to go, but what is it that you are doing to recover?
What is the relationship? Thank you, Chairman. On goals 4, I see you're saying growing qualified audit professionals beyond the various professional goals as part of the desire to increase the professional I just want to know if you do get the support of AICA and government, because I worry about the level of all these communities in this country. How much are we going to support that area? Because I believe unless we develop strong internal audit structures in our municipality, we are not going to get anywhere in improving the quality of audit practices.
That's round of questions.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll start with the last question, the one about the professionals. Indeed, we enjoy the support of the profession around the area of growth and transformation. We are part of the broader drive within the TA profession to improve the access of Black people particularly into the profession, because we understood that growth and transformation in this profession are just so inconvenient. In terms of our trainee scheme, where we bring young people who are coming out of university to train with us as part of our audit team, what they write their exams towards qualification as professional auditors and accountants, we do enjoy support from Traffic, which is a public entity. We enjoy support from SciTag and Education, as well as the Independent Review Board of Washington. We work very well with SciTag, which are the government auditors, as we do with ACTA, another professional body. I agree with Honourable Member that the audit committees and the ability of those committees to support the drive towards team administration throughout all spheres of government, particularly in municipality, rely on our ability and in profession as a country to increase the number of professionals that understand auditing, operate auditing, and support the work that we do. So we think that the work we do as an office in contributing towards growth in numbers is part of that journey. We also work well with the Institute of Internal Auditors, as we do as part of the Public Sector Committee, where we have initiatives actually to prepare members for effective participation in the audit committee, and to find individuals who are keen to contribute this, but are looking for a platform to try and create those solutions. I mean, that's really effective. The work that we do in training people, we've accepted that partly for people who stay with us, and partly for people who need us to go and work elsewhere in government. We come across many of our own trainees who are now for this crisis. When our staff leave us, sometimes simply because yes, we want to retain that which is trained, but we understand that it means our own team are starting to take us seriously about the need to attract and retain people skills. We also know that some of our people move on to other roles within the private sector, and again, that's a little surprise because if the private sector sees value in our product, in terms of people that we've worked and groomed, they say something positive about the work that we're doing. And the linkages between the private sector and public sector, even at that level, can only go well for the country going forward. The question about the clarity and specificity of our audit reports, in particular with RIS, how citizens are able to make use of those. Our focus over the last 2 years is really about being equipping the people charged with running government and those tasks with overseeing the operations of government to use our reporting. As democracy in the country matures, as we understand even greater the appetite of citizens to engage in the work that we produce, we're starting to think more seriously about having structured programs of engaging. However, in the context of allowing even people in the municipal space, whether they are in Sikukune in Limpopo or in the former Transkei, I'd just like to report that this area of focus around visibility of our leaders is starting to be improved, where those charged with government, be they mayors, municipal managers, CFOs, members of council, leaders of impact, they're starting to understand on this just because we spend that much more time with them. So it's not a question of becoming what is a leader at all, but we actually spend time on the leads that quarterly basis, talking about the issues that we think that needs to put in order to drive improvement. And that enhances our ability to get them to walk with us and actually walk with them in their journey towards improving the levels of government in the areas that they're charged with. One of the stories I recall quite fondly is our auditors, because our auditors themselves are people who live in these areas, who come from these areas, and our focus on ensuring that our workforce is diverse. It's also driven by a need to ensure that we're able to engage effectively with our stakeholders. So our auditors are able to engage with the MM in any area in a language that's appropriate in that region. We've also been driving simplifying our reports, so instead of getting a management report, in some areas we put it into very simple language and we modify it in a way that allows people to understand and take action. So that's what we want to drive at the end of the day. So we are going to make strides. Whilst the audit report itself is formulaic and it is difficult to translate into simpler language because of how it's driven, we are finding more and more creative ways to reach our audiences in a powerful way. The question about local government debt, the first one started asking what the level of debt is associated with other state of government. Of the 500 million that was sitting in our debt status at the end of March 2013 and this part in the table report, annual report of our organization. 263 was local government, 92 million was provincial government, 55 was national government, and 55 was legislative bodies. So this, our real focus is on the collection rate, particularly at local government level, because of the size of the book, but also on the rate of collection. the comments that we put in our presentation and put in the draft strategic plan are high. And there are this high because we want to go to the minds of our auditors in ensuring that we connect. And part of the focus is on leveraging on the relationships that we build when we go to the municipalities every single quarter to talk about the environment and internal controls, the improvements that they're making, to track the implementation of the recommendations that they've made. That builds very effective relationships that allows them to see not only the value of what we do, but also be much more open to prioritize and maintain. So that's part of the drive of what did we do to ensure that we connect. We also employ strategies of ring-fencing some of our debt so that we focus the minds of our debtors to pay us on the more current book whilst we deal with some of the legacy issues. We enter into payment arrangements in some instances as well, because there are innovations. There are municipalities that are in financial distress. The National Treasury issued a report towards the end of last year that details the size of many municipalities in the country. So our approach really is to collect as much as we can. However, we do accept that there are areas of real financial distress. And in those instances, that's where the conversation with National Treasury comes in. We do agree that it's an area that needs dedicated time and attention with the Parliament, and part of our strategy is to ensure that we do that. Thank you, Honourable Member. I'd like to answer the question in two bits. The first part is to say, yes, there are collection problems, particularly in municipalities. We focus as an organization on driving those collections. Through targets that we cascade to the people who interact with the people that we audit, get them to leverage the relationship that we build through the normal interaction that we have, which is secret, which is structured, and get them to focus on driving those connections. And that's the first part. The second part is to enter into payment arrangements in specific cases, ring-fencing arrangements in particular cases, and we'd like you to see the results of having done that. So that's really the first part, and that applies to a number of municipalities and other data that sit in that 500 million. However, we have also accepted, Honourable Member, that there are municipalities where there is real financial distress, where indeed the ability to pay is constrained, and that's consistent with the analysis that we've done around the financial health of municipalities, but also informed by the work that the National Treasury has done around municipalities that are in need of financial distress. So our own efforts, as focused as they are, even with our own effective tracking and improved monitoring and incentivization, through targets, our own efforts can only go so far, because indeed there are depressions in some of the areas that we audit. And hence, that is a conversation that we must have with the Fifth Parliament in terms of how we address that from a more sustainable way. I hope I've answered.
But one question we can answer here, any proposal of the state on how we can address the situation and the government mechanism of the campaign on behalf of the staff in the municipalities?
Yeah.
and goal
of that audit then formed by the international audit standards, of our management processes, etc. So we don't have a differential audit rate for municipalities. However, we are looking and always looking for ways to be more efficient in auditing every municipality. One of the challenges around auditing in the municipal space is the notion that the nature of record keeping is not always audited. So if you look at many of the OTs that receive the same audit opinions, for example, one of the key contributors there is the nature of record keeping, the completeness of the account that are submitted to us for audit. So that creates inherent inefficiencies in how we're able to audit, because we don't get a set of accounts, we start working on it, it goes back, it has to go back and correct it. That's something that is a feature in many of the OTs that are sitting with disclaimer audit opinions. The sooner we can get to a point where every single OT is able to submit annual financial statements and performance information that requires no further corrections in the audit process, I think that will be able to do serious efficiencies in a sustainable way, because then you'll have to go back and re-audit the way and more than the amount of time for a communication to come
through. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. You know, I once attended a workshop on record keeping by yourself. And I think that workshop was very effective. If it can be repeated on a regular basis, because as you say, the lack of complete record is going to be a problem. My feeling is that people have not realized the importance of keeping their record. So if that those workshops could be on a more regular basis, that's my thing.
Thank you, Chair. As a speaker that you were saying, for me you are generalizing what you say in the policy the reason is because there's no money in the municipality. But I would love to feel ready to say, for me, there are so many municipalities, out of 254, 10 are the ones that are doing this struggle. That's where the challenge is made. And the other, just made the struggle. So that's it. Because now, if you don't say municipalities as a challenge, it's like, by the next month, you're saying, it's such a treasury around it. So, because of that, where treasury is playing today, for sure they are trapped. But I think the question is a good question. I would love to know today, what are the plans you already, Honorable, that just talked about the relationship in the part of what can be implemented. Now, I would also love to know today, you pick up and you know that it's happening. Did you do something to correct that? Excluding the things of today, you should just bring enough of things or whatever, whatever. What is that you've done that when you leave the same mistake and have to fix yourself next year, people should be able now to do that. And the issue of how the community, if I'm saying the community, that's an ordinary member of the community and not the municipality, what is it that's what I do not hear what you mean? What is it that makes you empower community always? I'm seeing you in terms of monitoring, because it was not clear, the answer was not clear. I did hear the answer, but you're concentrating on official. But in terms of ordinary community members there, to understand, if I go and I want to read what you said about my municipality, maybe even to understand those devils or whatever they call it, those abbreviations, this is easy to do. Thank you.
Before, I'm just worried about time because there are members that will be seated that they have got other plans to reach so I would say demands for time. But after that, would that be possible just to refresh our memory on the opposite directions that we have adopted? If there's any need for colleagues to confirm that, we could do so in the central plane.
Okay, thank you very much, Jay. I think the comment about generalizing on municipalities is well taken. Our notation wants to indicate which sphere of government or which category of debtors there were significant collection challenges. That's not to say that every single municipality owes us money and doesn't pay. Not indeed, that might be the case. In terms of specifying which ones are in distress, I think the National Treasury does analysis for us, and we also do that for ourselves as part of our audit. And we have a firm appreciation of where there are real challenges, and we work with municipal leadership in terms of addressing the underlying root causes that contribute to financial distress, which is poor record keeping, poor management of working capital, ineffective planning, and we diagnose those things and highlight them in not only the year-end audit report, but also in our quarterly interactions with management. So I think we do a lot of work that contributes towards enhancing the ability of municipalities to address the barriers towards better governance, better efficiencies in how they operate. I know the comments made about the seminar repetition. I just want to indicate that we are repeating the running back seminar on language. So just to get a question. Yeah, I'll just conclude by indicating that our communication strategy currently takes into account our ability to engage with citizens. For example, you might be aware that when we launched particularly our local government work outcomes, we spent a lot of time on various community radio stations to talk about what these things mean, what these outcomes mean, what their reports are, and engage with citizens in live radio broadcasts for these conversations. And we think both of those things are very interesting, but we'll continue to look to strengthen that area. Chair, your request for me just to highlight the key matters around the audit directive for 2014. Thank you very much for that opportunity. The audit directive, there's really nothing significant in terms of what we changed. It's a document, as you recall, that informs how audits in the public sector are to be conducted by our private sector auditors. And we look at everything we should try and enhance it so that the work we do as an office to enhance the relevance of our message is also done by those who audit in the public sector. Our focus areas are corporate and digital audit programs. Our risk identified areas are looked at in more detail. The root cause analysis and things come forth in a way that supports the work that we do. So the amendments that are in the 2014 one are really about ensuring that we work together with all the people that conduct audits in the public sector. There really isn't much in terms of the amendments of that directive.
Thank you. Because the process is just a 5 minutes break, and then we can proceed to the next resolution of the agenda. We told that the formality of the report would need to be distributed to members. And then they have to have their own recommendation. The report is a 13 page scale, like in the exact plan, but it doesn't have recommendations. So the committee has to meet and start with the recommendations that they want to run to include in there as well.
Yeah, what does the
trust tell me? What he calls it now? I can ask the committee to distribute the the report becomes the recommendation, and then we can then review the recommendation.
Maybe, you know, on the question I think we must put something in terms of the
Thank you.
Can we reserve that for the report?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and incorporate that as a recommendation for the report. I'm not sure.
You know, I think I
like
what you say, because I want to say that we do need but important for ourselves as a community to have faith, because we need one thing in common, and we are not able to deal with this issue as effectively as we would like to.
Honorable Governor, is he behind us? Oh, I'm a teacher.
I'm going to suggest, do you have any such recommendation in the judge? Just to bring you up to speed.
good development of regarding the society. He then goes to the officer general, Mr. McCready, he came back to us, and I'd to read from email that they sent to us, who said, "Dear Johnny, I have considered the offer and advise that you proceed in putting this together into an employment contract, as far as this will set out all the related terms and conditions for me to be able to sign. Have their boxes in order." So we'll proceed to send the letter to the speaker, and the speaker will then have the necessary correspondence to the president, so that Mr. Mogherini can be paid accordingly as from the letter of the colleagues, we need to move on, and I'm advised that we just have to reconfirm the issue of the study directed by joining we have adopted last year. So I'm sure that our informers also get the flag, the one that we have done. I don't say that it must be just the fact that we are continuing our adoption of the guidelines. Okay, colleagues, can we then move to the issue of the Honorable moves for the adoption of audit directives of the confirmation, and Honorable Sikora is second. Thank you.
The next item will be the legacy.
The legacy report. You have the minutes in front of you.
Yes.
So they will be disorganized.
This
one. You have to be front of you.
Yeah.
Okay, please, can you just place one of the minutes? Mm. Okay, the minutes dated the 1st of November 2013. You propose the motion, the minutes, based on who
and for the 6th as well.
Okay, he proposed for the 3rd and the 6th. The 2nd is for nothing to wait. Okay, so. The minutes for the 13th of November. Any work on issue? Thank you so much. Well, that brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you so much. Yes, for your cooperation. There's so much we see you during the time.
You will have a
favor.
Nobody can tell you who's coming back.